when somebody's out, and especially when key people are out, if you think about it, a lot of times we have to scramble to make things work. When you scramble to make things work, then, of course, again, confidence levels are low. Even in our job, I remember when I work, when I get called, they call me an engineer and say, well, your engineers are not going to be in today. And I said, well, we can get around that one. Then I get, well, that one can't be in here either. And next thing I know, I got two engineers doing three or four engineers' jobs, and then we're all losing it. So again, you got to make, listen, remember, when you don't think you make a difference, you make a difference. You. Somebody look at somebody else and tell them, you make a difference. They didn't say whether it's positive or negative. You know, everybody's got the ability to brighten a room. Some brighten a room by entering it, and some brighten a room by leaving it, but everybody can brighten a room. Okay. You know, I pulled out that old, my good old joke book again. I got you a good one. This is about Keith. Keith goes to a drugstore and asks the pharmacist if he can give him something for the hiccups. The pharmacist promptly reaches out and slaps Keith right in the face. Keith said, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "Well, you don't have the hiccups anymore, do you?" He said, "I didn't have them to start with. My wife in the car still does." It does good sometimes to listen. Amen. Get your Bible out. God's so good to us. Now remember, last week, and stand for the reading of the word, Isaiah chapter 54. You got your Bible? Say amen. If you don't, that'll be okay, because we're going to pull it up here anyway. You'll see it. But Isaiah 54, stand for the reading of God's word. Look at somebody and say, Satan is in the business of suppression. When he sees you rising, he will suppress you. Listen carefully. When he sees you beginning to rise, he will suppress you. He'll do everything within his power to get you to lay down, to wonder why, to even quit, and say, what's the use? It's not working anyway. He will suppress you. So we can't let him do that. Amen. Isaiah 54, this is the last part of the story. We started last week. Sing, O barren, that is not bare, bring forth into singing and cry aloud that thou dost not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. In other words, you may be having some rough times, but you're going to, when it's all over with, you're going to be more fruitful than those that thought they had it all together. Amen. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let him stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make desolate the cities to the inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For the Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Let's just stretch forth your hands this way. Ask God for a special touch and anointing. God, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for your powerful word, Lord. Your songs are awesome, Lord. And when we sing to you, it's such an awesome thing. But Lord, not only want to sing to you, God, but we want you to speak to us now. Lord, we worshiped you and we spoke to you as we worshiped. And now, God, we ask you to speak to us through your word. Father, we thank you for this two-way dialogue, Lord, every Sunday, every day if we allow it. God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Lord, let everything be said in your honor. Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. Open eyes, open hearts, open spirits. God, let healing begin in so many hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. I mean, look at somebody and tell them, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. You can be seated. Now, again, I'm going to finish that from last week. I'm going to do a couple of slides from last week. How many remember last week when I talked about the first, let me just give you the title, of course. Are you dreaming big enough? Look at somebody and say, are you dreaming big enough? Has what God put in your heart, is it big or is it small? Has God put something in your heart and you've pushed it down, you've just suppressed it, you've let Satan suppress it, and you just begin to think that it's not even going to ever come to pass? Tell it, bro. Amen. God is good. All the time. Amen. See, now that's another an example of some of the most tremendous things that are happening all around us, and we don't give God the glory for it, or we don't necessarily think about it. But let me tell you something. Again, that purple bear, the purple dinosaur, Barney, I can tell you, some of y'all have been. I've heard of people being stuck or being in problems, and all of a sudden they saw somebody that favored their long deceased mother or father, or they've seen people that angels come to them. If an angel come to me like he came to Joshua, I'm not sure what I'd do, because he came to Joshua with a sword in his hand, and he was white and he was shiny and he had the sword in his hand. You know, can you imagine that? Look, that little boy might have been scared of that, but Barney. Amen. So God comes to you as you need him. Amen. So here it is. Let me ask you a question. Here it is. What is the biggest enemy of the church? Just the question of the hour. What's the biggest enemy of your family? What's the biggest enemy of your marriage? What is the biggest enemy at your work? Y'all hold back. What I'm going to tell you might make you feel a little uneasy. You think it's Satan? You think it's the world? Nope. The biggest enemy to your life right now, the biggest enemy to you spiritually, the biggest enemy to your family, the biggest enemy to your work is, watch this, is just simply mediocrity. Just let me get by. I'll do just enough. I used to hate it. If somebody was working with me and I heard them say, I'm just going to pull my 8, it's just 8 for me. I'd say, you know something, I'd rather find somebody else to work with. It's just 8 for him, because it weren't just 8 for me. I wouldn't put my name on the end of the day and say, this is something I did for the glory of God, not just getting my 8 in. Amen. Matter of fact, most of the time, I did more than 8. And if you want to have a good chance of getting somewhere on your job, try going in 15, 30 minutes early and try leaving 15, 30 minutes late. Not just to take up space, but to go in and find out what's going on before you start to work. And when you get ready to leave, make sure the right people have the right information as you leave. And it's amazing what will happen in your job, and it'll be amazing how you will grow on that job. But the same way with your family, the same way with the church. If you get interested, not just interested, but don't just the get-by spirit. One of the biggest problems in this world today is just good enough. Let me ask you a question. Do not raise your hand. Lately, in one of your relationships, or lately in your relationship with God, or lately on your job, have you just said, well, that's just good enough? That's enough to get by. That's enough to get through. That's just good enough. Let me tell you something. Just good enough is killing us. Remember telling about the new salesman comes into the farming equipment store, and as he comes in, one guy comes in and he says, I need to buy all this stuff for fencing. I need to buy the post. I need to buy the fencing. And he says, but I need to get it on credit. And so he asked him, are you fencing in or fencing out? And he said, I'm fencing in. He said, you can't have the credit. I'm sorry. The next guy came in and asked for the exact same thing. And he asked him, said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you fencing in or fencing out? He said, I'm fencing out. He said, you can have the credit. And he gave him the fence. And the salesman asked him after this, so these two men came in and asked for the identical stuff. And none of them asked for the identical stuff. These two guys came in and you gave one credit and one you didn't. What's the deal? He said, well, those that are fencing in are preparing to decrease. Those that are fencing in are preparing to not have that big crop, have to have the larger animals population. They're fencing in. They're not expecting to grow, but instead they're expecting to shrink. But the man that's fencing out is looking for growth. He's looking for something special to happen. So let me ask you a question. In your marriage, in your church, in your work, are you fencing in or fencing out? Are you looking for growth? Are you looking for things to diminish? Are you looking for things to get smaller? You know, I think about that all the time. You know, this is true. A professor, it was a hard class. It was their final exam. And this exam had a lot to do with their final grade. I've got one right now that I'm getting ready to. I'm scared to turn it. Not scared. Let me change that word from scared. I have to keep looking at it because it's 10 pages long and I got to turn it in today or tomorrow. And I've already gone back over it three times and added more stuff to it because it's diagnostic stuff. And I'm going back and doing it again because when you give it to him, once you shoot it to him, it's almost half my grade for the entire semester. I said, oh no, I got to get this right. Got to get this right. Well, you know what? This professor in his hard class said, when they came in, the tests were all turned upside down on the table. He said, I tell you what, I know this test, you've been studying for it all semester. I know that this is a hard class. I tell you what, if you're willing to take a C in the class, just get up and walk out. Nothing to be said, just get up and walk out. And in a matter of minutes, over three quarters of the class had got up and walked out, willing to take a C for the semester. When they all walked out, he looked at them and said, shut the door. He shut the door. He said, everybody else, turn your paper over. When they turned their paper over, said, you automatically get an A. True story. Are you willing to settle for C, or do you want A? Are you fencing in, or are you fencing out? Are you expecting to grow, or are you expecting to dwindle? You know, I'd love for my professor to say that same thing, because if he comes in and says, if you just be willing to take a C, just tell me. I'm going to go, no, I'm going to hang in there because I know an A's on the way. Amen? You know, we live in the time of, watch this now. How many's ever talked about this? 99% will do. I did some research, and there's a whole bunch of stuff out there, so I just had to trot through some of it. But 99%, and some people even said 99.9. Watch this now. Watch it carefully. If 99.9, that's even more, if 99 or less, if 99.9 is good enough, watch this carefully. 12 newborns will be given to the wrong parents every day. If 99.9 is good enough, watch this. 114,500 mismatched pairs of shoes will be shipped each year. If 99.9% is enough, 18,322 pieces of mail will be mishandled by the hour. I think that happens in Washington anyway. If 99.9% is good enough, 2.5 million books will be shipped with the wrong covers. If 99.9% is good enough, two planes will crash at Chicago's O'Hare Airport daily. If 99.9% is good enough, 315 entries in Webster's Dictionary will be misspelled. If 99.9% is good enough, 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions will be written this year. Wow. If 99.9% is good enough, 103,260 income tax returns will be processed incorrectly. And here's my favorite. If 99.9% is good enough, 291 pacemaker operations will be performed incorrectly. When we get service, we expect the best. We say we pay for the best. We expect the best. When we talk to God and we pray to Him, we expect the best from God. But let me ask you a question. Are you giving Him your best? Are you giving your family your best? Are you giving your job your best? The consultant for Mr. Fountain, he lived in Florida. Don Abel. Don Abel would come up, and every time he'd come up, he'd spend a week or two at the plant. And every time he'd come up, immediately people would start getting fired. Things would happen. Things would check. It just shook the place up. He came in my desk one day, and Lord knows, my desk had papers everywhere, and I had a big old like a horseshoe, and there's papers everywhere. And I had about 10 projects going at one time, and my people were with me. We're all working. And he came and said, "David, I need to see you." And I said, "Oh, no." He carried me out and he gave me a list and he said, "Here's a list of projects I need you to get done for me while I'm here." I said, "That's not even my department." He said, "I know, I need you to do it." I said, "Okay." And so this went on two or three times. The next time he came in, we had to come in at 5 o'clock in the morning, leave at 5 o'clock at night. And the sad part about me was I was on salary, so I wasn't even getting paid for all these extra hours. My people were, but I weren't. And so here we are doing all this stuff. My people come in one day and said, "David, we all took a vote." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah, we quit." I said, "Why are you quitting?" He said, "Because he just expects too much out of our team. Every time he comes, he picks on us." He said, "If something's got to be done." So I went and talked to the COO, and I said, "Look, man, can you talk?" I talked to the vice president of engineering. "Y'all guys think y'all can talk to him and get him off our back? We're always doing so much for him." And they said, "You talk to him." So I said, "Okay, here's the biggest man. When you got the vice president of engineering and you got the COO scared of him, then, okay, Lord, it's me and you." And I went to him and I said, "Why is it that every time you come down, you put my people, put their feet to the fire? We work all these projects for you on top of the work we're already doing. We can hardly make it. It's just so much to do." Here's what he told me. He said, "Walking any manager in this plant, walk in their office." He said, "You'll see their desks are clean, their feet are up, and they're propped up in a chair and they're talking on the phone." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Now go in your room, go in your office." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You can't even see your table." I said, "I know, and I'm sorry about it." He said, "Don't be sorry." He said, "Look at your people. They got papers everywhere." He said, "I come look if you can't even find you. You're not at your house on the phone. You're down on the floor getting stuff done." He said, "Y'all, watch this. Your team actually cares." He says, "Y'all got something going that the other guys don't have going. Y'all care. Not only do y'all care," he says, "y'all are busy about doing what's got to be done. Y'all won't take second. You got to have first in everything." And he said, "That's why I need you to take care of all these things so I ain't got to come back and fix them again." And I said, "Well, thank you, but next time you come, I might not have any people working." He said, "They'll be here. Don't worry about it." 99.9. Is it good enough? Let me ask you a question. Is it good enough? You know, see, here's what happened. In this scripture that we read, there's a thing going on here. The children of Israel, of course, some of them are going into captivity, some of them are coming out of captivity. When God gives them through the prophet Isaiah, he gives them this. And while they're going in captivity and some coming out of captivity, he says, look, the choice is yours. You see, you can be mediocre or just get by, or you can go beyond and excel and just watch God do something special in your life. God called Israel to excel, but they got lost in mediocre. They got lost in just get by. They said, "Let somebody else do it. It's somebody else's job. God, you're a big enough God. You can handle it." So what happened was they lost their freedom. But praise God, they didn't lose their grace. Somebody in here right now, there might be somebody here right now, you're sitting here thinking about this and you're hearing this and it's pricking your heart and you're saying, God, there are so many times I could have done more, but I didn't. There's so many times I could have stepped up to the plate, but I didn't. And it hurt my family, hurt my job, hurt my church, hurt my relationship with you. And God, I'm so sorry that this happened, but I can tell you right now, you better go ahead and start thanking Him. His grace is here right now. God's grace is here and God is working something special in every last one of us. And we have the opportunity to get back up and swing again. I used to tell my boys when I was coaching baseball, I said, boys, listen, if you strike out, it's okay to strike out as long as you're swinging. But if you keep that bat on your shoulder and get three strikes, you're out, you and me going to have a problem. But as long as you're swinging, we'll be okay. God wants us swinging. Look at somebody and say, I'm not talking about just a swinging. He wants us swinging. Amen. So watch this. Now here it is. Here's the scripture. Here it is. I love that. God is fixing to restore some broken pieces in your life. But in order for Him to do it, here's what you got to do. Enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, don't be fencing in, fence out. These guys were already in captivity. Some were just coming out of captivity. They still didn't have their jobs yet. They didn't have things going on in their life. And He said, listen, don't you look at your circumstances. What I need you to do is I need you to start looking out. He said, I need you to enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Get ready for some heavy stuff coming. You see, it was a strange time in their history. We just talked about it. Some were going into captivity. Some were going out of captivity. But they all got the same challenge. Some of y'all in here right now, you're just getting out of a mess. Some of y'all have just got in a mess. Am I talking to anybody out here? Amen. I got some messes I just got in. I got some messes I just got out. But I can tell you one thing. If you live long enough, you're going to have a mess. Amen. How many here's got at least one mess? Do not point to the person beside you either. Okay. So look, this whole verse, all it talks about, see, enlarge your view of God. You got to see God different. You got to see this whole situation different. I look out and I see some crazy mess going on. I see this morning I was watching the news and they're talking about how socialism is on the rise and how they're trying to get socialism here amongst us and all this crazy mess. This all this stuff I see going on and some of the silliest mess people are pulling out. It just drives me. Wall when I hear some of the stuff and I see God being suppressed and pushed down and pushed down and pushed down and God being pushed behind. And you have to understand one thing right now is God will not be suppressed. God will not lay down. God will not play dead. God's got this. Amen. It's right here. I look at it every day. I look at it all day long. That's Bethany, Team Bethany. God's got this. I see it every day. I say it 100 times a day. God's got this. It may look like we're on the losing side, but God's got this. It may seem like we're going down, but we're not. We're not even going under. We're going through because God's got this. It's time for the church to stand up and be counted for and let them know we're not going to take it anymore. God's got this. Somebody stand up and say it. I dare you. God's got this. Stand up and say it. Come on. God's got this. Come on. God's got this. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You see, watch this. Look. Everything about this verse, you can be seated now, speaks of increase. He tells us, he's not telling us to just maintain the status quo, but he wants us to enlarge our perspective of him, knowing that he's not limiting us. God is not holding us back. God, listen, the only thing that's holding us back is who? Us. Look at somebody and say, you are your biggest enemy. Look, take your finger and go, I'm my biggest enemy. Look, my biggest enemy, I brush his teeth every morning. My biggest enemy, I put his shoes on every morning. Amen. I'm my biggest enemy. So watch this. Here it goes, and here we're going to come into the new stuff right now. Get ready. I love this. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind, or even imagined what God's prepared for those who love him. Now, people think that this is talking about heaven. Of course, it is heaven, but it's also talking about the here and now. When Paul was talking, he's talking to the Corinthians. He says, y'all don't understand what's coming. if you could only understand what I've got. You see, we've gotten so enamored by all these guys on television wanting us to send them $1,000. And we got these other guys saying you'll never have any pain, never have any heartache. No, we're going to have pain and we're going to have heartache. And there's going to be times you're going to have to make a stand when you have to stand alone. But God still got this and God's still in control. And God says, I'm not here to destroy you, but I'm here to lift you up and do something different in your life. Amen? So here we go. Watch this. Here it is. I love this. That's my picture right there. How many others can say that's their picture? Amen. I looked up at David Linton Encyclopedia, and that's what it showed me. Amen. Watch this. You're going to love this. Get ready. We're going to have a good time. Whenever God gives us a promise, it's wrapped in a problem. Wow, Pastor, I thought you were going to build my faith today. I'm going to sit there and chew on that one for a while. Some of y'all are saying, well, we got some good promises coming then. Whenever God gives us a promise, it's wrapped in a problem. Why? If we look at it in the right perspective of God, it will develop us to get us to the next level to receive the promise. But if we don't look at it in the right perspective, then it will destroy us. The choice again is whose? Ours. You say, what were you talking about? Promise wrapped in a problem. Okay, let's just talk about a few people that have some awesome promises. Abraham believed God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. That's in Romans. Watch this. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Your descendants will be more than the stars of the sky. Well, that's good, except for the timing. He told him this when he and Sarah were barren and childless. Let me start that one more time. God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Your descendants will be more than the stars in the sky. He declared this while he and Sarah were barren and childless. They even tried it on their own to figure it out. God said, that's not what I said. I'm not asking for a child of the flesh. I got a child of the promise coming. And your descendants are going to be like the stars of the skies. So he told them this when they both together were barren and childless. God had plans to make Joseph second in command of the greatest nation on the earth while he was just a young boy in the desert. He had these dreams. God was showing him how the whole world was going to bow down to him, and his own brothers hated him. See, God gave him a promise, but God also gave him a problem. And God used a pit, used Potiphar, and used prison to develop a ruler to go to the palace. Moses was 40 years old when he felt the promise of God and the call of God to deliver his people, and he tried it on his own. And all he did was kill one Egyptian, and he hid him, buried him, and hid him. And the next day, the Israelites said, who are you that you can do this? And he winds up being expelled from Egypt. And he spends 40 years in the desert. He had the promise, but he had a problem. But what he did not know is he could not have delivered them at 40 because Moses had a ruler's heart. Moses weren't ready. God gave him a problem to get him ready to hold the promise. And 40 years in the desert gave Moses a shepherd's heart. And so now at 80, he comes back to deliver the children of Israel. Now he's got God on his side. He's got all these miracles taking place because now he's tempered. He's got a ruler's heart and he's got a shepherd's heart. And he knows how to combine them and do what needs to be done. Some of you in here right now, you got that promise. And you're holding on to that promise. And you're saying, God, I got this promise, but all I see is problems. I believe you're going to do something for me, but I just can't seem to get past this, or I can't seem to get past that. And it's just driving me up the wall because I'm expecting one thing and I'm getting another. And I believe right now, if you'll stop and listen, God's trying to tell you, he's trying to develop you to the point where you can actually hold that promise, where you can actually be used in that promise. David was not ready. Look, here he is. Let's go a little bit further. I love this. Impossible. I'm possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. God sent Samuel to anoint David king. Matter of fact, when he sent him to anoint him king, Jesse said, all my other sons, they're the ones you need to look at, not David. He's just little freckle face, fair skin. He's just taking care of the sheep. You don't want him to be the king. And when Samuel was there, he said, these guys aren't the one. There's somebody else. He says, I'll go get him, but you don't want this gruffy little fella. He got him. He anointed David king because God said, this is the one. But guess what? After he anointed him king, he went to the palace and started ruling Israel. He was 17. He went back to the shepherd fields and kept sheep. Wow. God gave him a promise. But Lord knows that some problems come with this. The very first problem was Goliath. Some of y'all got Goliath right now, and I want you to hear what's going to happen. Watch this. The problem was Goliath. Goliath was destroying Saul, but because of David's heart, it was going to develop him. Some of y'all in here right now, you're thinking, God, why is this Goliath standing before me? He's twice my size. He's twice my strength. I can't seem to budge him. I don't understand. I tried the earthly weapons to take care of this. It's not working. I've tried everything that everybody's telling me to do, and it's not working. I don't understand. But here's what you got to say, understand is, God sent Goliath to you to develop you so that you could hold that promise. Wow. Guess what? Without a Goliath in David's life, he may never have become king. I'm going to let that one sink in again too. Without a Goliath in David's life, he may never have become king because he was still in the shepherd's fields. But after the people saw him with Goliath, wow. Amazing stuff began to happen. Saul took him and he became a very powerful, powerful military leader. And soon he would be king. Oh, there was some more stuff going along the way. You know how old David was when he finally got a chance to rule? He was over 30. Over 30. 17, 30. Moses, 40, 80. Abraham, 20 years from the promise till he saw the baby. It don't happen overnight. But I thank God that he loves me enough that when he gives me a promise, it's wrapped in a problem. And that problem will propel me to the greatest heights I ever could imagine if I just don't give up and give in. So now let's look at this verse again. It's good stuff. Y'all are getting quiet. I heard a mouse sneeze a while ago. Dream big, pray big, believe big. DC, get ready to play something, bro. Watch this. Let's read this again. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. It's like God is saying, listen carefully. I wrote it down so you could just see it. Just take it in. I can't fit what I want to do in your life in the space you have now, so I need you to stretch. Wow. Wow. I remember after Bethany's funeral and hurting, man, I was hurting. And I'd walked into Walmart for something, and there was somebody here at that service that was from Albemarle, Emmaus. I didn't even know him. One of the lay directors. And they come up to me, and they said, "We saw grace in action at that service. All the things that were going on, all the things that were happening, it's the most amazing service we'd ever been in." And then she looked at me and she said, "Watch this. I know what you went through was tedious, and I know it hurt, and I know a lot of stuff had to get done, and sometimes you couldn't even think." And I said, "That's right." And then she told me, she said, "But you know something? You got a story. And that story needs to be told." And all I could think about when she walked away was David and Goliath. Bethany's sickness, Goliath. Bethany's death, Goliath. But now, things are different. I'm here to tell you, God did something in me that couldn't happen any other way, and I thank Him for that. Every promise, there's coming a problem, not to destroy you, but to develop. Watch this. God's saying, I wrote it down so you could see it. I want you to see this. I want you to get this in your spirit. You're not thinking big enough. You're not dreaming big enough. I need you to make some room for what I want to do in you and through you. Wow, that's what God's saying. I got so much more for you. You know how many graveyards? If you could go into a graveyard, and I don't mean rob the graveyard and find rings and find clothes. You know how many graveyards are full of songs that people could have sang, but they didn't? How many songs they could have written, but they never believed and they didn't? How many opportunities for ministry were there, but now they're gone? All this stuff they carried to the grave with them. I used to tell my boys all the time, "Boys, when y'all get out on that field, I want you to give it everything you got. Don't you come back in here with anything left in you. I want you to give it all you got." And God says the same to us. "I want you to give it all you got. I got something special, so, so special for you. But in order for you to be used, you got to be willing to enlarge and let God do what He wants to do." So let me ask you a question. Here it is. Here's your question. Are you dreaming big enough? Get ready. I walked in here the other night. It was getting dark. I walked in here and I walked in the back door. And the lights were dim. And I looked in here. And I said, "God, don't let us doubt you." And I looked up again and I saw this place packed. 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 And the Lord showed me something. I want you to think about this. Every time we get to the point we can climb out and start to soar, Satan suppresses us and pushes us back down. And he does it in such a subtle way that we think it's just us. We start to climb up and he pushes us back down. We lose our faith, we lose our interest, and we start to get it back, and we start climbing back up, and he suppresses us and pushes us back down. And I believe right now God is challenging all of us to quit being suppressed, quit laying down here wondering what if, and come up and say, "God, I'm ready. Show me. Let's do this," and watch us rise. I love the phoenix rising from the ashes. It's time for some phoenixes around here. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Here it is, and we're getting ready to close. DC, come on, buddy. When was the last time you believed God for something so big that if someone else heard you, heard about it, they'd think you're crazy? One more time. I had to keep repeating this because it's speaking to me too. When I walked in and saw this place full, I said, so be it, Lord. So be it. Let's see it. I'm ready. When was the last time you believed God for something so big that if someone else heard it, they would think you were absolutely crazy? See, God is preparing us for great things. He wants to open doors. But even if He opens the doors, we've got to walk through them. He wants to strengthen our, or straighten our paths, but even if He strengthens our path, you still got to walk it. He wants to strengthen us and protect us, but even if He does, we still got to face our enemy. This morning I was on the way to church and the Lord spoke to me just as clear as a bell. And He said, say this to my people as you close. I said, yes, sir. Felt it in my heart. Are you running toward faith or are you running from your fear? Are you running to your faith, toward faith, or are you running from your fear? See the difference? God, don't let me be running from fear. Face fear head on. Facing this wildest, craziest thing. The greatest hurt I've had, and I don't know when, is when I was in that room and Bethany took her last breath. My heart, for a split second, my heart weren't even pumping. And I remember walking to her side and I stroked her face. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't weep for her. She's beat it. She beat it. She beat it. And so I went right on then to my mighty army and said, Bethany finally beat her cancer. If y'all got it, you saw it. She finally won. And people got back and were saying, well, congratulations. And I know what they were doing. I understand totally, 100%. And then that, I mean, I'm talking about, I got back 100 of those. That's awesome. And then when they finally saw it again, they come back and said, I'm sorry. I said, don't be sorry. She beat it. She won. She won. Did it help the hurt? It helped my perspective of the hurt, but it didn't help the hurt. The hurt was still there, just my perspective of it. She went to the other side. Her pain was gone, totally. Are you running from your fears or to your faith? The choice is yours. Everybody stand. Everybody stand, bow your head, close your eyes. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. No looking around. Just be honest between you and God. I want you to ask yourself, am I fencing in or am I fencing out? You ain't got to even raise your hand. Am I fencing in? Am I decreasing? Am I expecting more loss? Or am I fencing out? Am I expecting God to do something great? Greater than He's ever done before. If you're fencing out and it's looking kind of slim right now, remember the third day is coming. The third day is coming. It may be Friday now, but Sunday morning's coming. And if you're fencing in, you need to ask God to help you recapture that vision. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, first thing I'm going to ask is, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not even going to call you up. I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up. If there's anybody here today that say, look, before I can do anything, I got to get it right with God. Me and God aren't together. I don't have it right with Him. I need to have it right with Him before I do anything else. With nobody looking around, every eye closed, would you stick up that hand and say, Pastor, I need to get right with God. I need God to touch me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe you and God are okay, but y'all haven't communicated much lately. And you're needing God to redo something in you. You need to rededicate your life to Him. You need to up it some. You need to get beyond the status quo. Get beyond it, just get by. Get beyond the 99.9%. If I'm talking to you and you're needing God to do something, you want to rededicate yourself. You want to get back in there. You want to see God do something special in your life. Nobody looking around. We just slip up that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Today is your day to let God shine down on you, in you, and through you. Today is a new day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. God, touch each and every person. Matter of fact, I want you all to pray with me. Y'all pray with me. Father, I need you to touch me right now. I rededicate my heart. I rededicate my life to you. I trust you to do a work in me. You reach down as I reach up, and I thank you for that touch. Help me, God, to never accept mediocre again. Let me give it my best, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, if anybody has any special needs, you can come to the altar. Feel free. You need to be prayed for. You want to pray for something else, the altars are open. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I just need to pray.
Okay.
Based on the problem I got to solve.
Hey, God's got. God's got this. Come on, God's got this. forget, coming up in a few weeks, we're doing right now, we're doing the prelude. In a few weeks, on Tuesday nights, it's going to be How to Get Beyond Depression. It's going to be an eight-week study, and it's going to be good. And also, we're still developing it, but it's going to be, we're going to go across the street, we're going to have free, which is for people that have addictions. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be for the caregivers or family members and for the people that are struggling and or have struggled and have gotten over it and need some reinforcement. So it's going to be good. Good. Looks like it's going to be good. Good. That's right. Don't forget, we got a baptism afterwards. So we're having a Dunkin' Donut service after. If y'all want to hang around, y'all can hang around. There might be some Dunkin' Donuts somewhere. I'm not sure. Amen. Brother Benny, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?